Burt Reynolds, man. Wow. That is a tough one. Good afternoon, Matt McNeil's show here at AM 950. Matt Hunter, were you ever a big Burt Reynolds fan?
Yeah.
Not the amazingly funny Norm Macdonald, you know, Celebrity Jeopardy version of Burt Reynolds, but the actual Burt Reynolds.
No, I liked some of those action movies.
He was I never had the opportunity to interview him, but I did talk to someone who did interview him. And whenever you saw him, was it the Smokey and the Bandit movies or the Cannonball Run and stuff like that? One of the things which was remarkable is that the guy that interviewed him said the same thing. He said, you know, you sit down with the guy and you're expecting kind of this, you know, Larry the Cable Guy type of personality. And the reality is that it wasn't. It was actually a far more, you know, reserved actor. He actually said, he goes, I've actually talked to guys on Broadway that didn't sound as professional as Burt Reynolds, but because he was kind of typecast in some of his most popular films were this fun-loving guy, I mean, and he did it well. You know, he really was a pretty good actor. Sally Field actually said that, wasn't it? I think it was Sally Field said that he was always one of the most underrated actors that she had actually had the privilege of working with. Boogie Nights, too. He actually has a great role in Boogie Nights, if you haven't seen that one. He must have been 70 when he did that movie. 82, Cardiac Arrest, Good Run. I am a little sad about that one. Burt Reynolds passing away. I'm caught off guard. I wasn't expecting Paul to have Burt Reynolds pass away. So I'll tell you what. Let's switch gears here. Paul Metza is joining us. Wall of Power Radio Hour is on with us on Saturdays 6 to 7, Sundays 4 to 5. He is kind enough to join us today to talk about a brand new single. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Matt. How are you? See, I feel bad about Burt Reynolds too. You know what I really used to love? When he used to host The Tonight Show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't remember him hosting it. I remember him being a guest on it and him and Carson just having a great time.
Yeah, no, I believe he hosted it a few times too.
Wow. I mean, it's one of those things where he just did a movie not that long ago about a guy who goes out on tour and he shows up at this event to honor him. And I heard from multiple people that was a pretty good movie. I might have to go check that out. But, yeah, you know, and can talk about length of career. You know,
like, wasn't he married to Lonnie Anderson from White Bear Lake?
I would say a WKRP in Cincinnati would be the first thing.
No, I think he was married to Lonnie Anderson for a while.
Deliverance. Deliverance wasn't his first, was it?
No, it was one of his greatest.
Oh, yeah. You'd be very proud of me, Paul. You'd be very, very proud of me.
I'm always proud of you.
I was down in South Carolina. I was in Beaufort, South Carolina, in Port Royal, which is the town just down the road. They were having a street concert, and I said, well, who's playing? And they said, oh, Joe Louis Walker. I said, Joe Louis Walker, the Hall of Fame blues musician. And he said, yep. And I said, let's off we go. So I was treated to one of the great outdoor concerts, one of the greatest outdoor concerts I've ever seen, of Joe Louis Walker on the street in Port Royal, South Carolina, 2 weeks ago, playing his heart out. It was fantastic.
Joe Louis is a phenomenal guitar player.
Yeah, he is. And he, not only that, but he is his range. I mean, one of the things that's great when you go see a great artist that especially is, you know, highlights like the blues or something like that, is he did a few gospel songs that he's done. And he's done a few.
Yeah.
I'm a Soldier for Jesus, Battling on the Front Line was a great song.
Nice. I love it.
And he did a few other songs. And you realize how all this music connects. And it's just, it's not, you know, you realize that step from country to gospel to blues to jazz to rock. There are very small steps. And especially if you got the people that understand the music. And I will make a plug for you, like yourself, you basically get people that, you know, it's enjoyable to go see them live because they are so dynamic.
Yeah, it's the deep well of American music. I mean, if you look at Little Richard, he started in the church. Jerry Lee Lewis, he started in the church. Johnny Cash, he has a deep gospel background. I mean, the greatest example of that is Elvis Presley.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. And not only – well, I was listening to some blues music and listening to Beck and Keith Richards play with – oh, God, was it – oh, God, I can't remember. Anyway, they're playing with a great blues musician. I'm like – and they were tearing it up. The blues gospel, they are such a base in such in so many different genres of music that when you get someone, like I said, with Joe Louis Walker and you're sitting and watching him, you're kind of floored because it's you're kind of getting a master's class in it. You know what I mean?
Well, absolutely. You know, we're going to talk about my tune, Ain't Gonna Whistle Dixie Anymore. And this is a good intro to this song because I grew up on the Iron Range. You know, my hometown, Virginia, you've got some roots up there too. And there wasn't the, there was one black guy in Virginia when I was growing up. His name was Ed White. Of course, they nicknamed him Whitey, but he was a great guy. He was a handyman. But growing up on the Iron Range, and you know, I was born in 55 and then in the 60s, I had no experience with black culture. I got it through records, I got it through television. You know, whether it's seeing B.B. King on Johnny Carson or then hearing the great speeches of Martin Luther King. So when you talk about the blues and you talk about gospel music and you look at this rise of white supremacism these days, it's so what makes it part of it so evil is black culture gave us the majority of art and sports in America. And there's no greater example than blues music.
Ain't Gonna Whistle Dixie Anymore, this song that you put out. I was reading a little bit about it, inspired by Charlottesville, correct?
Yep. I read an article. There's a guy I follow. You should follow him if you don't on Twitter, named Charles Pierce.
Yeah.
He's a great liberal blogger. You see him on MSNBC. He's on Stephanie Miller every now and then, CNN. But he writes for Esquire.com. I actually had him on the Wall of Power Radio Hour about a month ago. And he wrote an article the day after Charlottesville. And he had a line in his article that said, well, I ain't going to be whistling Dixie anymore. And I said, man, if that's not a damn title for a song, I don't know what is. So I was actually on my way up north. I took my legal pad and my phone that I tape ideas on. The song pretty much wrote itself, Matt. I wrote it about a year ago. I debuted it at Keith Ellison's barbecue, and then I played it later that night at the AFL-CIO Pavilion at the State Fair, which we did again on Friday. And so we just started working on it, and I demoed it with Tommy Lieberman and a guy named Paul Sowie, who had a small northeast basement studio. And one night I'm sitting around going, oh, my God, Willie Walker has to sing it. Willie and I have been playing together for 7 years. Every Thursday at Shaw's, he's not in town tonight, but I'm playing there in Northeast at 5 with Sonny Earl. But anyway, he grew up. Willie's 77. He grew up in Memphis. He grew up in that time, and he was you know just named the Living Blues Magazine 25th Annual Critics Choice Award for Blues Singer 2018. So he sang it. Then my bucket list, Matt, has always been I've always wanted to work with the Sounds of Blackness.
Yeah.
So I reached out to my friend Gary Hines, the director, sent him this song. He said, we're absolutely in. They gave me a great deal. We recorded it at the High School for the Recording Arts, which is a charter school in St. Paul, primarily young African-American kids that have bounced out of high school but want to get some production chops and music business chops. And I called my friend Scott Harold, who is the CEO of Rock the Cosmos Records, who also teaches there, who hooked us up with HSRA. And he said, this is the perfect project for us. So it took kind of over the winter to get it all recorded, mastered, and mixed. But it's done. It's on iTunes. It's on Spotify. And if I can brag for a little bit, it's one of the most powerful projects I've ever done.
We're going to play the song here in just a little bit. I want to drive people to your website. What's that website once again, Paul?
It's paulmetza.com. Metza, of course, like New York Mets with an A at the end. And we also have for a couple more days, Matt, we're raising some money so we can we just put a video together. We want to pay that off. We want to do another video for the song. The net proceeds are going to go to groups like Southern Law and Poverty Center, HSRA, other groups that are doing fighting for racial equality and racial justice. So if people want to chime in and throw a few bucks towards the song and the project, just go to paulmetza.com. It's right at the top of the page.
Well, and I mean, we want you to get this. I mean, they're selling the single out there as well. Also, you're doing a fundraising campaign where you're trying to remix an album and other. There's another single that you're working on, correct?
Yeah, I did a record 93 called Whistling Past the Graveyard, produced by Bucky Baxter, who was playing with Bob Dylan at the time. And we had he had a studio with Gary Talent, Springsteen's bass player. So Gary played on it, Bucky played on it, and George Marinelli, who was with Bruce Hornsby at the time, he's now with Bonnie Raitt for the last 15 years, played on it. So we're a little behind in the fundraising, but whatever we can raise, we're going to put it to good use. But I just want to tell you, we played at the Pavilion at the State Fair on Friday. Everybody was singing along. People came up and said, man, we need this kind of a song now. And, you know, you see it, you watch the Senate hearings with Kavanaugh, and there you have the first day of the hearings, the lady behind with the, you know, the alt-right white supremacy hand sign. And I'm going, my God, this tune is like, it's ready to fight the forces of evil right now.
This the great music, as you're hearing in Paul Metza, if you're a fan of Wall of Power, his concert tonight, and we'll talk about the concert once again you got going on tonight. If you're a fan of great music, the important thing is this. If you like the arts, support the arts. I want you to go to Paul Metza's website, paulmetza.com. That's paulmetza.com. Get the single. Make sure you make a donation. Help him with his projects here, because this is artists are a job too. And as you hear, it's a lot of work putting something like this together, even one single on this. So if you can help out, get the single, make a donation, help out Paul. You can also see him. Where is that concert at tonight that you're at?
Tonight is at Shaw's Bar, 16th and University, in the heart of Northeast Minneapolis.
All right, 16th University. Talk about Shaw's tonight. What time do you take the stage?
Well, the ad says 5, so we usually hit by about 5:30. We like to work the crowd. There's a great regular crowd. It's a neighborhood blues joint. Great rib special on Thursday nights. And it's like a little Chicago blues joint. We've been playing there for 7 years, right in my neighborhood. And it's a great vibe. And then we're followed by the Butanes, the award-winning Butanes, best blues band in the Midwest. And it's No Cover.
No way. There you go. No Cover. Everyone loves No Cover. Wall of Power on Saturday, Sunday. You got a preview for this weekend's show?
You know, I'm going to dig in. We've been so busy getting the record out with the end of summer. I'm going to dig up a real golden replay. But coming up, I have George Marinelli scheduled in this month to come on the show. He's, like I said, he's the guitar player with Bonnie Raitt. I have the new Power Generation. The cats that used to play with Prince are going to be coming on. And then my good friend Kevin Odegaard, who has a record out called Artifacts. Kevin played guitar on Bob Dylan's Blood on the Tracks. So it's really fun. I've got, the motto is cool people from all walks of life in all 50 states. We've been on AM 950 for 4.5 years. AM 950, one of the coolest independent progressive radio stations in America.
Well, and I'm proud to be here as well. Do me a favor, man. When you get a chance, let's talk sometime this fall. I want you to come in for the full hour, and you and I can just talk. Maybe right after the election, you and I can just sit and talk for an entire hour about music, anything you want to talk about, all right?
That sounds great, and I could be the Democrat of the day, too. I'm a longtime Iron Range Prairie populist.
I would love to see you run for a seat. We can I can find one or two seats. Especially, I would love for you to represent the district I'm up there. We'll talk about that some other time.
The background check might be a little dicey, but I consider governor maybe.
Oh well. PaulMetza.com. PaulMetza.com. Get the single. Ain't going to whistle Dixie anymore. Paul, thank you very much. I appreciate the time, my friend.
Thank you, Matthew. Have a wonderful day.
Take care. Hunter, let's play it. Here it is. Ain't Gonna Whistle Dixie Anymore. Paul Metza right here on AM 950.
I saw your Tiki Torch parade on the blood red evening news. I remember Timothy McVeigh, and the Jesus was a Jew. Benedict Arnold waits for you in the hottest place in hell. the screaming soul will drown you out. You seek and rebel, yeah. I ain't gonna whistle Dixie anymore. I ain't gonna whistle Dixie anymore. Bury that song in the land of cotton, deep in the Delta mud to be long forgotten. I ain't Dixie anymore. Fallen soldiers that were left behind, they salute a wounded knee. Sacrifice of the highest kind, from Gettysburg to Normandy. Burn your crosses, mask your face, stain the apple night. Guthrie told us long ago, fascist born and bound to lose. Fascist born and bound to lose. Park where Dixie flags flew across the village green. Four wheels of hate down 4th Street raced where Heather higher died. Now her Blue Ridge Mountain angel voice forever magnified, forever magnified. I
I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Hi, friends. I've been talking to you about Minnesota's first green cemetery, Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's an entirely new way of looking at our last earthly step. Burials are designed to have as little impact on the environment as possible. For many of us, a continuation of the commitment we made during our lifetimes. Let me suggest you go to the website, mngreengraves.com. Explore what it is. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's a lovely place, a peaceful place. Minnesota's first green cemetery.
Fall is an important time to call the window washing and exterior cleaning experts, Blue Sky Services, to prevent seasonal changes and potential winter damage. Look at your roof. Do you have black streaks, blotches, or algae? Don't wait for the cold to have these freeze. Cleaning is much cheaper than replacement. September schedule is filling quickly, so don't neglect your windows, gutters, or siding cleaning. Call 651-447-4484 to book your fall cleaning before their busy season schedule fills, and tell them that you're an AM 950 listener. That's 651-447-4484 or blueskyservices.com.
Be sure to pick up your copy of this month's Natural Awakenings magazine, a free local guide to a healthier and more balanced life. Each monthly issue includes timely, local, national, and global stories. Learn about alternative and complementary medicine, nutrition, fitness for body and mind, personal growth, sustainability, and much more. Natural Awakenings can be found at area health food stores, food co-ops, and retail locations. More information is available at naturaltwincities.com. That's naturaltwincities.com.
Summer's over and the kids are back in school. That means you can call Zero Res to clean up all the dirt your family dragged in from the outside. Their patented powered water will clean up the toughest messes and won't leave behind any smelly dirt-attracting residue. I even had them clean up a mess earlier this summer from a few nameless friends who got a little clumsy with the wings and barbecue sauce. Just call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com and ask for the AM950 special. Three-room ZERO-RES abides starting at $149. ZERO-RES, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
By the way, once again, go to PaulMetza.com. Go get that great song. That's just fantastic. That is absolutely fantastic. By the way, speaking of music, I want to thank Todd Colid for sponsoring us here at AM950. Todd, of course, is in Spain. He likes the station, but obviously can't visit a lot of our clients. So what he does is he sponsors the station. You can too. 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885. And Todd's with the band Just Folk, speaking of music. And, of course, they've got two albums out that got an album that's coming out rather in October that they're going to be working on. They got two videos out, Coma Tonight, Protest to Survive. Both of those are up on YouTube. I'll make sure you can go over and check out both of those. Just look at our social media feeds. You can find the links on them. But thanks once again, Todd. We do appreciate it. 952-946-6205. Democrat of the day coming up here, Mary Kunish Podine is joining us, 41B. But I wanted to, funny story, we missed this one. We're playing catch up a little bit. U.S. Senate candidate Karen Housley, Republican, has touted, of course, she's running against Senator Tina Smith, has touted herself as a champion of senior citizens during her time as a Minnesota state senator. Housley is looking to take that seat from Tina Smith. Housley spent her year tackling the issue of elder abuse while serving as a chairperson for the state's Senate Aging and Long-Term Care Policy Committee and making it one of her go-to talking points for the campaign trail. During an August 29th interview with the Star Tribune newspaper, Housley said the number one issue facing seniors across the country is preserving Social Security. As baby boomers continue retiring, the 2018 Social Security Board of Trustees report projects Social Security reserves will become depleted by 2034. Smith has opposed cuts to Social Security and has co-sponsored a pair of bills that attempt to provide benefit protections to seniors, repeal the windfall elimination provisions. During the interview, Housley said she did not want to privatize Social Security, but when pressed, her only solution was getting more people working and paying into the system. When pointed out that America is facing a labor shortage, she said she hadn't looked at the many proposals for fixing it that were before her. There are a lot of proposals out there. Have not been put out in front of me. I haven't sat down to look at any of them because I haven't seen them, Housley said. But fighting for our way, what we can do to fund it to keep our citizens going. That's me. Later during – well, she didn't say that's me. That's – I added that. Later during the hot mic comment, while chatting with host of a conservative station, Housley criticized the Star Tribune interviewer for being far left. Hot mic. Okay, hot mic. Far left. I got news for you. You think the Star Tribune's far left? Dear God. The red sickle? Is that what you're going to go with? You haven't paid attention to that newspaper at all, have you? Anyway, when the host said Housley needed to stick when the, now once again, this is off air. It's a hot mic. Conservative host is telling her what to do. When the host says Housley needs to stick with her script on various issues, the Senate candidate laughed. Well, I found the areas I need to brush up on too. She then clarified she was referring to questions surrounding Social Security. Housley's campaign did not respond to requests for comment on the candidate's lack of knowledge surrounding the issue of Social Security, but the Democratic Farm Labor Party was quick to point out the gaffe. Karen Housley has no plan to protect and preserve Social Security for our seniors, and some reason she finds that funny. Protecting Social Security is not a laughing matter. They should be incredibly concerning to all Minnesota families, said DFL Chair Ken Martin in a statement. She actually said, I don't know. This is supposed to be a tent pole of her campaign. How many Democrats of the day have we had on this show in outstate Minnesota who've talked about seniors and health care for seniors and Social Security and taking care of seniors? This is a major issue, and Karen Housley is like, yeah, yeah. She sounds just like that, only it's deeper. No, I have no idea how the woman laughs. Do Republicans even laugh anymore? Only when seeing starving children? All right. That's what you get from Republicans. No, I don't know. I don't know how you're kind of – are you kind of doing like a jazz campaign where it's kind of – you're just free-forming it and you don't – you know, you're going to just go with the flow? You might want to hone up on some of the major tentpole issues you think you champion before you sit down with the largest newspaper in the state and do another interview. And by the way, you might want to call the interviewer and apologize because, you know, I get it. You get around the conservatives. You want to badmouth it whenever you stick your foot way down in your own mouth. But you're going to need the Star Tribune, you know, for coverage. And if your entire attitude is, Star Tribune, you're a bunch of liberals, I hate you, whatever. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. They still will probably endorse her, though. I mean, that's just the way Star Tribune is. That's just the way. Yeah, 50-50. 50-50. 952-946-6205. When I do come back, Democrat of the Day, Mary Kunish Podine, is joining us. We'll talk to her about her campaign. It is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Is it time to downsize, but don't know where to start? Give the House Geeks with Bricks Real Estate a call. We're experienced in making this process as easy as possible. Whether it is help with pricing your home, assistance in finding movers, or any of the other professionals you might need to get your home sold, we're here for you. Take the worry away by giving us a call today at 612-207-5388. That's 612-207-5388 or online anytime at housegeeks.com.
Hi, Sarah from Vinaigrette. Farmers markets are everywhere, and summer's bounty is limitless. Try a rustic caprese salad using spring mix, fresh mozzarella, grape cherry tomatoes, red onion, fresh basil, garlic olive oil, and our 18-year-age balsamic. Or try grilled romaine brushed with Tunisian olive oil. Vinaigrette makes it easy to love your vegetables. Visit us at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis, or 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Minnesota is home to the only major institution in North America devoted to Russian art, history, and culture. The Museum of Russian Art, located off 35W on Diamond Lake Road in South Minneapolis, can be your personal connection to extraordinary artists, stories, and context. We offer more exhibitions and events than ever before, from concerts and lectures to vodka tastings and more. Open daily, free parking, and a great Groupon deal. Find out more at tmora.org.
Hello, friends. I've been talking to you about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens, Minnesota's first green cemetery dedicated to celebrating life and protecting our environment. One of the many wonderful things they have is something called the Living Urn. Ashes are buried in an urn with seedlings, ultimately coming back to life as a glorious tree. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Why don't you log on to the website, mngreengraves.com. Learn more about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. See if it might be something that's meaningful for you.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Hawes. Today, sunny with a high near 72. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 52. And Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 74. Blue Sky Services is the home cleaning company for you. Window washing starts at $100. Siding cleaning starts at $199. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484 to ask for the AM 950 special. Find out more at blueskyservices.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. EatLocalMinnesota.com. Restaurant of the Week is all of them. We're featuring them all this week with the shortened Labor Day week. Head over to eatlocalminnesota.com, find a great local restaurant, many of them locally sourced. You get a great local meal, and the money stays local. Eatlocalminnesota.com. Our Democrat of the Day comes from 41B, which is just on the north side of Minneapolis. They're basically west of 35W, east of 94, and south of 694. Mary Kunish Podine is joining us to talk about her campaign as the Democrat of the Day. Mary, thank you very much for the time.
Hey, I'm happy to be here.
My pleasure to have you with us. You returned. You actually were on with me 2 years ago. I don't know if you remember that. You were a Democrat of the Day back in 2016, and you won.
I did. I did indeed. I've been at the House of Representatives now for 2 years, coming up on my first reelection, and it's been an incredible 2 years for sure.
Just to remind everyone out there, why don't you give a little bit of a background on your pre-representative career. Who exactly is Mary Kunesh Padin?
Oh, great. So I live in New Brighton, represent Columbia Heights and Hilltop, St. Anthony Village, and the southern half of New Brighton. And when I'm not doing my legislative duties, I'm actually an educator. I've been a teacher for the last, I think I started my 23rd year of teaching this
wow.
year. I'm a library media specialist at the Robbinsdale Middle School and was at the elementary level for 20 some years. So that's what really keeps me busy.
Well, fantastic. And thank you very much for being a teacher. I mean, it's this time of year and it's all time of year that we should be saying thank you to the teachers because you guys do such a great job. We have such a great education system in Minnesota. And one of the main reasons why is the teachers. So thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
Talk about your first 2 years. You got in 2016. You went in for 41B. Most of the people I've talked to, they talk about the brash nature of the Republicans was really kind of a downer. What was your experience in the first 2 years over in St. Paul?
Well, like any legislator coming in, it is just a whirlwind of learning the process, learning the names of everybody, where to be, all of those sort of things. I sit on the Education Policy Committee, Ag Policy Committee, State Government Finance. I was assigned to the School Trust Committee, the committee that deals with MNLARS, all sorts of things. So the first year really was just learning who, what, when, where, and how things are operating, and then just the protocol of being on the floor and listening to how people speak and all of that. It was pretty overwhelming most days, but you know, you get used to it. You start building those relationships and find ways to start working on the issues that are put before you and are most important. And so last year felt more productive because I was able to carry a couple of bills that I was really passionate about and had really strong bipartisan support. They didn't make it through to the finish line, but we can go back again and do it again. So that's, it's such a blur. It's hard to bring it right down 2 years into a few good sentences, but a huge learning experience for sure.
Can I ask? I mean, obviously, the real treat would be is if the Democrats get back the House, and then you'll be able to reintroduce these bills. Why don't you talk about one or two of those, but especially the bills you definitively, if you go back, you're back in St. Paul after 2018. What bills do you want to reintroduce?
So I introduced last year a bill to create a task force to study and do some problem solving around the missing and murdered Indigenous women in Minnesota. About a year ago, 2 years ago, Canada did a national study around this whole really serious and heartbreaking situation, historical trauma that our Native women and other folks have gone through since colonization. And the other states are starting to pick up on it as well, but last year, I was able to put together a really good bill that would get different agencies and different programs and different police, like the FBI and local police, working together to collect the data. Because the first thing is that we just don't even know how many and where this is happening because the data is skewed in different ways. There's jurisdictional issues. Folks just stop telling people or telling the police that this is happening. And then bringing those folks together to create some kind of a plan on how we can address it and minimize the problem. So my missing and murdered Indigenous women is certainly one of the first ones I'll work on. Another one is called Jake's Law, and it is to bring drug abuse and addiction preventative curriculum into schools starting at fifth grade all the way through high school. I had a mother who lost her son to opioid addiction overdose come to me and ask me to help her with this. She's created an incredible foundation called For Jake's Sake, and we've been working really hard. Both of those bills had 100% bipartisan support, came very, very close to being passed. They were both in the final omnibus bills, but those just didn't happen. And then there's some around health with allowing vitamins for folks that have pancreas and liver disease to be able to use their insurance to pay for those important medications that will keep them alive. There's just the whole slew of them.
Well, and I want to bring up something here because you got – first of all, it's – you know, you brought up two – what you easily could say were populist issues, issues that had broad support. I mean, the fight to research what's happening to Indigenous women. It's hard to fathom how even the Republican leadership couldn't just put that bill on a fast track. We're going to do we'll do a hand vote, send it up to the Senate. We're done. And we're getting this one passed.
Right.
Same thing with the Jake's bill. What's interesting is you talk about this opiate addiction and the problems they're having. When my kids now, they do sports at the school level. And so they have to do the drug talk. They don't talk about heroin. They don't talk about marijuana a little bit. I guess they should say they talk about those things a little bit. Almost the entire discussion is about opiates because they are so dangerous and they're everywhere.
Yeah.
Awareness at a younger age. I mean, that's another one. When you look at what the Republicans did with this omnibus bill, we're not supposed to have these massive bills that are coming through, especially introduced with 3 hours before the end of session, and you guys have to, you know, just vote one way or the other. The reality is that's part of the problem that we're having and why we need to have a Democratic majority is because, you know, these are good bills with wide support on both sides of the aisle, and we can't get them done because they're using it as, let's face it, they're using that as a bribe to try to get something that the governor does not want in the omnibus bill. Maybe even has told them, don't put this in the bill. But they're saying, well, if you want to do research on what's happening to Indigenous women, you have to give another tax break to the wealthy. And those are two things. That's the failure, I think, of what's been happening the last 2 years with the Republican leadership in the House.
It's true, and that's really frustrating, and it was also a little heartbreaking to realize that was how the game was being played. You know, I don't know about other legislators. You go in there and you think, I want to really make a difference. I want to be a good legislator. I want to represent my community in Minnesota to the best of my ability. Folks are bringing me this really important legislation. Everybody agrees on it. Why isn't it passing? And these huge omnibus bills that are just full of junk and yuck. And then you have to, you know, it comes down to oftentimes where we have to compromise ourselves, you know, and our communities in order to get one or two good things done. We have to vote against, you know, other things that are really important but won't be included if we were to vote one way or the other. And so those kind of shenanigans are really disheartening. I'm really hoping that when the Dems get back into the majority, and I'm pretty optimistic, that this is not the sort of thing that we will continue to make a precedence. It just doesn't work. We haven't gotten anything done, it feels like, for 2 years. They sent me to the Capitol to get work done. I feel like in so many ways my hands and my feet are tied, we just can't continue down this road of getting nothing done and issues that are really important are not being addressed. The important resources that all Minnesotans need, no matter whether they live in the urban, the rural, the suburban. They're not getting them. And I'm looking at schools specifically. I'm looking at the elderly. I'm looking at some of the gun control issues that people are clamoring about. And when you look at it at the end of session, it's like, why were we sitting here all these days when nothing is going to get done? And we all kind of went in there knowing, but keeping our fingers crossed, that would happen.
There's a real...
So it's a heartbreak.
It's a real disingenuous process when even bills like you have been sponsoring, which are 100%ers, both sides of the aisle want these things done, they have no chance because those have to be used as a bargaining chip to get unpopular and, let's face it, you know, just, you know, political agenda-driven issues passed a governor. Mm-hmm. And this is why this state is failing. It's not failing because of not good ideas. It's failing because we have a political party and really only a handful of Republicans who've taken control of the entire process, who are basically trying to use this for their own personal gain. And it's this is why this thing is broken. This is why we need to have a Democratic majority. Once again, Mary Knish Podine is joining us. This is kind of interesting. Your challenger isn't a Republican by political affiliation. It's an independent. But I'll be honest with you. I was looking at your opposition. He sure looks like a Republican. But you still have it's one of those things where you're a district where the Republicans, they're not even trying in that district, but it's not a slam dunk. You do have an independent challenger, and obviously it's a seat we need to hold and send you back into St. Paul.
Yeah. There was a Republican challenger that filed initially and then pulled back his application by the deadline. So that was interesting. I don't know what that was all about in my district. I haven't heard about that. And my challenger is sort of a perennial campaigner. He has run for pretty much every elected position possible in our district from, you know, I think he did, I don't know if he challenged our senator, but he did challenge our state representative, Carolyn Lane, before she went to the Senate. He's a constitutionalist and swears by the Constitution and doesn't see any variables when it comes to that. But he is a challenger, and I have to take that seriously. So I've been out in the community this summer, been talking to folks, door knocking. I had a primary also that I won very soundly with 86%. So it's an affirmation that my community feels like I'm on the right track, that I'm doing a good job of representing them. And with that kind of confidence, it really makes me feel like I'm on the right track and I'm moving not only our communities, but all of Minnesota, you know, in the right direction. It might take us a while to get there, but I'm impatient, but I'm persistent. So we'll just continue on with our progressive values and really working hard to make sure that Minnesota has what it needs to succeed.
I think the Republican that withdrew might actually be the smartest Republican I know. It's like you can see good leadership. We need this leadership back in St. Paul. I want everyone to go to Mary's webpage, www.kunesh-podein.com, correct?
Yep, that's it.
All right, I'll link to that on all the social media a little bit later on. If you can make a donation, volunteer, help her out this campaign cycle, it'd be greatly appreciated. Mary Knish Podine is once again 41B, our Democrat of the day. Mary, thank you once again for joining us, and all my best.
Thank you so much. Take care.
You too. Take care. Mary Knish Podine joining us once again, Democrat of the day. We'll take a break. Come on back. I got to get to this ruling by the federal government on the Iron Range. They're trying to kill the Iron Range. We'll talk about that. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Minnesota is home to the only major institution in North America devoted to Russian art, history, and culture. The Museum of Russian Art, located off 35W on Diamond Lake Road in South Minneapolis, can be your personal connection to extraordinary artists, stories, and context. We offer more exhibitions and events than ever before, from concerts and lectures to vodka tastings and more. Open daily, free parking, and a great Groupon deal. Find out more at tmora.org.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Steve, what are we going to talk about this week?
This week we talk about how millennials are buying homes centered around their pets, layoffs in the mortgage market, and the usefulness of the new Satori Niche program.
Check us out for more information. Email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
As we head into fall, get your vehicle service done at Rudy Luther Toyota. Regardless of where you've purchased your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is your number one destination for auto service and repair. Routine maintenance or a larger repair, easily schedule your appointment on their website, RudyLutherToyota.com. That's RudyLutherToyota.com. They're fast, courteous, and they get the job done right. And considering my schedule, I trust them. Get your vehicle ready for the cooler weather with a trip to Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
This is Chad, owner of AM950, here to tell you about Snap Construction. They're experts in roofing, siding, window, and insurance restoration. They have energy-efficient products available for both residential and commercial properties. This spring, when we needed a company to take a look at a problem with our roof, I called the company I knew I could trust, Snap Construction. I've known Ryan, the owner at Snap Construction, for years, so I knew I could trust him. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their reviews online. They are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor online in the metro area. Over the years, Ryan has always said the same thing to me about his work. If we build it, shouldn't we be held accountable for the work indefinitely? He backed that statement up years ago when Snap Construction was a pioneer in offering a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee on all their work. For a free estimate or general questions, call the locally owned company AM950 Trusts, Snap Construction, at 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP, or find them online at snapconstruction.com. They have financing options available.
AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. The mining industry won a major victory in Minnesota on Thursday when the federal government lifted a controversial stay on minerals exploration in the area just outside of the BWCA, the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. The decision opens up hundreds of thousands of acres to federal forest lands in northern Minnesota to mining companies looking for copper, nickel, and other metals, a step fiercely opposed by environmental activists. It is the second time the Trump administration has reversed the decision made under President Obama to consider exceptional protections for the BWCA. And the ecologically sensitive region from the potential impacts of industrial mining. In late 2017, federal regulators reinstated mining leases for one company, Twin Metals, that had been denied under the Obama administration. In the decision announced Thursday, they've halted the ongoing environmental review of the U.S. Forest Service to determine whether mining is an appropriate activity for the ecologically sensitive area around the BWCA. Once again, they just stopped the report. It's good enough. That's basically the attitude. Mining exploration will be allowed on all 2,300,000 acres of U.S. forest land in the northern Minnesota. We must put our national forests to work for these taxpayers and support local economies and create jobs, says Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue. Okay, once again, I want to make sure we understand what he just said there. We need to put our forests to work. So basically, they're selling off our land. These are federal lands which are owned by the people. He's basically taking this land and giving it to mining companies. What they want to do is the sulfur mining here. This is the sulfur ore copper mining would do to America's most popular wilderness. It leaves behind a byproduct which is toxic and poisonous for 500 years. They have not made any advancements on it. There has never, I want to repeat, does everyone out there understand the word never? There has never been this type of mine done environmentally safe. It has never happened. It will not happen. And we'll get to that in a second because there's no need for them to have to make them environmentally safe. this is 100% one of the most dangerous ideas I've ever seen. And it is a threat to a massive swath of northern Minnesota. Now, when you look at this decision, let's make sure we put three issues out there so that everyone understands this. First of all, this isn't mom and pop mining companies where I got my pickaxe, I'm going to go digging. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about international mining conglomerates using front companies to try to make them look like they're local boys. But these are companies out of Brazil, out of China, out of Russia, out of Canada, and out of Europe. They don't care about the boundary waters. They don't. They're just looking for the go-ahead, and they're going to poison the crap out of that land. That's what they do everywhere else because they don't care. I want to repeat this. They do not care about northern Minnesota. They don't live there. That's just a swath of land that those stupid people are enjoying their lakes on and enjoying their cabins on, enjoying hunting on, enjoying the wilderness on, when they really should be wanting to dig up the precious metals underneath. And they're going to do this the most hazardous way they possibly can. They do not care. They're going to poison and toxify northern Minnesota, and that's just that. And how do you know that? Number two issue, the Republicans, who basically, these guys, I'm going to guess a good chunk of the Minnesota Republican Party has already been promised lobbying gigs, or their kids have been promised lobbying or mining jobs or whatever it is. That's my guess. But they, I can tell you one thing, they're getting a lot of campaign donations because, reminder, the Republicans have passed laws with the Oopsie Law. That's the most consummate example, the Oopsie Law. They passed the Oopsie Law, which basically said if a mining company pollutes, period, if they pollute, as long as they scream, oopsie, they're not responsible for the cleanup of said chemicals. Once again, there is nothing stopping these companies from the day that they open up just turning around going, oopsie, and then the taxpayers of the state are responsible for the entire cleanup of any mess that they make. What kind of morons pass laws like that? Well, with a mining company, all they have to do is just say, oops, and guess what? They're not liable. They try it with the water standards. The water standards, they try to get rid of those. Governor Dayton stopped them. Why this next upcoming election is so important. But remember that. Republicans are not, they don't care about Minnesota. They don't care about the boundary waters. They don't care about your lake. They don't care about your cabin. All they care about is campaign donations, lobbying gigs, and jobs for their kids. That's all they care about. And they will sell out their own damn grandma to make that happen. Number three, only a moron thinks 300 mining jobs is a better, more important number than tens of thousands of tourism jobs in northern Minnesota. Because for those 300 mining jobs, the end result's going to be the toxification of northern Minnesota, the destruction of our pristine wilderness. For those 300 jobs, we're going to lose tens of thousands of tourism jobs, guides, fishing gear, bait shops, hotels, hunting suppliers. You think anyone's going to want to go boaters, cabins? I mean, how about you? How would you feel if you owned a resort and you're on possibly on a toxic sludge pile? Only a moron thinks 300 jobs is better than 10,000 plus jobs. Or a Republican, it's one of the two. Repeal the Oopsie Law. Here's the deal. You make the Oopsie Law go away, they're not going to build those mines for one reason. They can't possibly do it environmentally safe. Get rid of the Oopsie Law. That's the call for this election. Doug's up next. We're back tomorrow. Until then, see ya.